الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. As far as our ma'amulats are concerned, which we should try and read daily, one very important one, very greatly beneficial, all are greatly important and beneficial, is to read Hasbi Allah, La ilaha illahu, alayhi tawakkaltu, wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. 7 times after Fajr and 7 times after Maghrib. It is narrated in the hadith, authentic hadith, that a person who reads this 7 times, كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مَا أَهَمَّهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah will be sufficient for that person. Allah will look after all his needs, all his problems, matters. كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مَا أَهَمَّهُ, what worries him. مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whether it is matters of dunya that worry him, or whether it is matters of akhirat. Mulla Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Ali, Muhaddith-e Azim, he says that Ye Ham wal Ghammu alladhi yudhibul insan. This Ham, which is referred to in the Hadith, is that worry that completely melts a human being. That is severe, acute depression. That he's not prepared to speak to any person. He's not, he doesn't want to eat also. He doesn't want to, it's like finish completely. If it will save a person from such type of depression. So 7 times every morning. And this ayat itself is so valuable. Hasbi Allah, Allah is sufficient for me. And if we read it and read it with the meaning, whatever my problems are, but my Allah is there. And my Allah is sufficient for me. And why should it not be so that Allah is sufficient? La ilaha illahu. That Allah is the one, all power is with Allah. Allah is the only one in charge of everything. This one wants to cause me this problem. I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. But Allah is above everything. And hasbi Allah. Allah is sufficient for me. I've handed my matters over to me. Handed my matters over to Allah Ta'ala. And when you hand your matters over to Allah, you don't have to worry anything anymore. When, for example, a person has got a court case, any other matters legal, and he has a good lawyer, and he hands it over to them, he doesn't have to worry anymore. The lawyers will keep on informing him, we are at this stage of the matter, we need this paper still to be signed, or we're waiting for those documents, or whatever. And you have any problem with anyone, they want to speak to you, you tell them, don't speak to me, speak to my lawyer. So if you got Allah on your side, don't speak to me. Allah will sort it out. Hasbi Allah, la ilaha illahu, alayhi tawakkaltu. I put my full trust on Allah Ta'ala. And yea, it's taqdeem, ta'khir. Actually, according to Arabic language, it should be tawakkaltu alayhi. But by alayhi tawakkaltu gives the great benefit of eloquence, of hasar. Only. I only trust on Allah. Not I own, also trust on Allah. I only try. I don't trust myself also. I don't trust the medicine. I don't trust my connections. I don't trust any, only Allah. Alayhit, I put all my trust on Allah. If somebody comes to you and tells you that this is my once when I went to, we were studying in India, in Deoband. And in Ramadan, Maulana Ghulamullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in Rawalpindi used to have a course of tafsir of Quran Sharif. So many South Africans used to go. Allah gave me also tawfiq. I also went and partook in his course. He was known as Maulana Ghulamullah Khan Tawheedi. Of Tawheed, he stressed in contrast to the Barilwis, all the shirk they do. So he was very strong in that. Anyway, and at that time, when we had to cross the border between India and Pakistan, you need a road permit. In other words, a permit that you can travel by road and you can cross the border. So I went, I knew about it, they got it, it was written clear. But when we came there, they say, this is not the right document. This is a wrong document. And I was all alone. I remember it reached the border about 4 or 5 o'clock in winter. It was, in fact, Asar time was going when I now got involved with them. And just I managed to make my Asar. So I had bought kitabs in Pakistan. I had a whole trunk of kitabs. I spent all my money, Pakistani currency. So I had nothing now. And now they're blocking me here. So it was quite a situation. But one thing I saw at that time also, of the many things that give you your life, your strength, your power in life, is as soon as I made Asar, and the serenity, peace I felt, all that worry that was so much, what am I going to do? Where am I going to spend the night? I haven't got money to go back to Lahore also. And yet there is nothing there at the border. And those people who sell tea, etc., the little shops they got. So I tell you, people can keep this trunk of kitab. They say, we go away. We close here, and then there's no one here. There's no activity. We are not here. So I was stranded completely. But that Asar Namaz, alhamdulillah, it gave so much of strength. And after that, everything fell in place. Went back to Lahore also, and then there were some students who were studying from America there, and we knew them, so I went to them, and I told them, see, everything of mine is finished. Now I'm here by you people at your mercy. So if you go to somebody like that, then they'll do everything for you. So mashallah, they hosted me very well. The next day, that was also Ajib, was the 25th of December, which is Christmas Day, but Pakistan celebrated it as Qaid-e-Azam Day. It's just another camouflage for Christmas Day. They're celebrating Christmas Day, they just camouflage it with another name. So all offices are closed. But one person came and he said, I know the officer, and we went to him on what is Christmas Day. And he gave me the right paper. So everything gets done. So put your full trust on Allah. When you are like in a, you've got nowhere to turn, no one to see. And do it once, and for life Allah will give you that. That anything now you know, Allah is there. I don't have to worry about this person, don't worry about that person, nothing whatsoever. My full trust only on Allah Ta'ala. When we started the Darul Uloom here, yeah, that time wasn't this whole Darul Uloom, it was we were just in a house here, yeah, and that, and people who started coming to know. So when they came to know that in our Shura, the executive committee of the madrasa, we had kept only ulama and no other prominent people, business people, top prominent people. Openly they said this will never work, because without those people, at least their names must be there. Then the only things work. But Allah gave us that trust. We don't need that. We need what people, our dini institution, dini people, they know what they want and how to run it. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave Lord Barakat. And without all those people's support in any way, we never tried any way to get their support, that they must speak to people about the madrasa or anything. Allah directly helps. So put your trust on us. Alayhi tawakkaltu. La hasbi Allah. La ilaha illahu. Alayhi tawakkaltu. Wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. And how can't you put your trust on Allah when Allah is wa huwa, and He is Rabb, the creator, the nourisher, the sustainer, who is in charge of everything, and of what? Arshul Azim. The arsh, the grand, great arsh of Allah. Allah is in charge, which is known, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi writes, Majariye Qada, the place where all decisions are made for the world. A judge cannot write guilty or not guilty until what is decided there. What Allah has written there, that He will write. Petrol price can't go up or down until it is decided there. Dollar price can't go up or down. We will waste hours and days discussing now. That's why dollar price has gone down. That's why petrol price has gone up. And all those people who work on this here, mustaqil, separate departments for this, and all it is nothing. It was decided there. That is what happens here. Yeah, we bluff ourselves, this big department, that big prominent person, this very learned professor, and this person, yeah, all is nothing. What is decided there, that happens here. So when a person realizes that, how can't he put his trust on Allah? So with that read, not just like a parrot, Hasbi Allah, La ilaha illahu, alayhi tawakkaltu, wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. But consider the meaning and see how your iman by leaps and bounds becoming stronger every time. Every time you read it, your iman will be becoming stronger all the time. So Allah give us tawfiq to read that every morning, 7 times, every evening. Allah will save us of all this depression, worry, anxiety, tension, all that. In Pakistan, commonly, they say, tension mat lo, anything. Don't tense. Why are you tensing? Why are you stressing? Don't stress. Don't tense. So you just read this, yeah, you won't have to, nobody will even have to tell you don't stress or don't tense. And then you'll be the coolest person. No matter what happens, you'll be cool. And you won't get all this worked up and excited, and you can't find words to express. All that things will be gone. So 7 times Allah give us tawfiq every morning. Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu alayhi tawakkaltu wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. And 7 times at night, inshallah. With regard to the Quran Sharif and the great virtues of the Quran Sharif, a few articles, we'll just go through them to see the great, great benefits of Quran Sharif, inshallah. This one is Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the doors of the heavens, the door, Allah ta'ala's doors of the heavens are open for 5 things. When 5 things happen, then the doors of Allah ta'ala's mercy and rahmat opens up. One is when there are torrential rains, when the rain of Allah's mercy comes down. The other is the recitation of the Quran Sharif. Wherever there is recitation of Quran Sharif, therefore, and read Quran preferably, or your own also, but read it with a voice to yourself. You don't have to read it too loud. That is also, by that, don't read it just completely silently. Even if you're reading it in Nawafil, try and choose a place where you don't disturb anyone. And when you do your own tilawat also, recite such a place where you don't disturb anyone and read it with a sound. That will have a much more greater effect because now you're hearing it also. For it to have an effect on your heart, on your mind, on your heart, that is much more better. And wherever Quran Sharif is recited, like in namaz, the Jamaat namaz, Fajr. And Fajr is the most. The Quran, Inna Quran al-Fajri kana mashhuda. That Quran of Fajr is, and our own tilawat also, most of the tilawat, try and do it Fajr time. That is when Sehri time finishes. When Tahajjud time finishes until sunrise. That's the best time to read Quran Sharif. But any other time also read Ana al-Layl, wa Ana al-Nahar, day and night. But during that time, make sure we do read Quran Sharif. So Quran Sharif reading, then also the doors of Allah's rahmat open up. Meeting the enemy in battle, when jihad takes place, and at the time when the battle actually starts and you meet the enemy, then Allah's doors of rahmat also open out. The adhan, when adhan is called out. Now also think, one side adhan is being called, one side the doors of Allah's rahmat are open, and the other side we are talking, laughing, joking, and we don't respect the adhan, we don't reply to the adhan. What a sad case. Adhan is a very great symbol of Islam, shi'ar of Islam. We must show it utmost respect and reply to the adhan. And then and that famous instance of that lady who inspired her in her life was in Egypt. This lady that وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. And the translation, O Allah, I rush to you quickly to please you. So how it had an effect on her, the minute she heard adhan going, whatever she was doing, she gave it up. And she started preparing for namaz, making namaz. It was an understanding between husband and wife. that every day husband would phone her from his office and tell her, I would like to eat this today. I call husband, wife, have some arrangement. So, and then he would phone her repeatedly also. And on his way also he would phone her. So he told her that day he wanted to eat something like spring rolls. And so she made about 10 of them. And then she was frying them. And he was phoning. And she finished 7 and she heard Asr Azan. She left it immediately. And she went and made her namaz. When he came home, he found that 7 are done, 3 are still not done. And where is she now? How long it will take to fry another 3? Oil is hot, everything. One minute, half a minute in the hot, hot oil. Quickly, you put it, you fry. Couldn't find her. So then you get worked up now. Where is she? And you know, so he's calling her name. She's not replying. Looking for her room to room. Then he found her. She's making namaz. So then, like it's a habit also, while in namaz he's speaking to her. You could finish it. Why didn't you finish it? But she was in sajda, not moving. Then he's shouting, nothing. Then he went and touched her. She had gone to Allah's mercy. Ajil to ilayka, Rabbi, letarda. That she rushed to Allah to make Allah, what a mortal to get. So man and woman, all, when Adhan goes, then give up everything. Now it's only namaz. Nothing else. We can't make the signature now. We can't write the date now. We have everything after namaz. Once Adhan starts, prepare for namaz. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. He also narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the heart rusts just as iron does. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Allah, O Messenger of Allah, how are they polished? If they are rusted, how do we polish them? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, by reciting the Quran Sharif. In another riwayat, remembrance of mort and recitation of Quran Sharif, thus shines the rusted heart. A heart that has been neglected, that hasn't been taken care of, just start reading Quran Sharif and remember mort. Inshallah, that heart will once more shine again. And then it will do all its work, and the heart does great, great, fantastic work. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever is too busy reciting the Quran to ask me, that is, he hasn't got time to make dua, he's too busy reciting, he wants to read more Quran, too busy to ask Allah for anything, I will give him better than what I give to those who ask. Those who ask for their needs, and that person who is kept busy with reading Quran Sharif without asking, I will give him better than what those others who ask me for their needs. And what we can ask is very limited. Allah knows our needs. One Buzurg says, if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has to offer me, you want to sort out your matters yourself and make your decision of Jannah, Jahannam, or make your own hisab kitab, or you want to leave it to me, I'll prefer leaving it to Allah. I know that Allah knows my interest, has got my interest more at heart than what I have got my interest. What I can know and what I can wish for myself, Allah wishes more better for me. So Allah give us to understand who our Allah is, and that is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, who is now also our Allah. Not only on Qiyamah Day and Hisab Kitab time. Leave our matters to Allah. Hand over. May just make Allah happy. And he gave us the whole nuskha, the whole prescription how to make him happy. So just make him happy and leave matters to Allah. Allah will sort our matters better, much more better than what we can sort out our own matters. Another version is, the superiority of the speech of Allah Ta'ala over all other speech is like the superiority of Allah over the creation. Allah's superiority over the creation. Kalamullah, Allah put in our heart that we dedicate our lives to read Quran Sharif. Make Quran Sharif our nasbul ayn, our main object in life. I have to read my Quran Sharif. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that whoever is too busy reciting the Quran to make dua, Allah Ta'ala gives him the best of any of what any of his creation asks him for. more than whatever anyone asks, more better Allah gives to that person who reads Quran Sharif. But with this, we should have our balance also, make dua also, read Quran Sharif also. Once we were in the Haram of Makkah Sharif, and just before Maghrib, the whole Haram was making dua. And our Shaykh main Khadim Mir Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was reading Quran Sharif loudly. So Hazrat reprimanded him. So he quoted this hadith. Hazrat said that hadith 100% on its place. But there is a time you can see the whole Haram, the whole Ummah is busy in du'as. There is a time to be in du'as just before Adhan of Maghrib. And in the Haram where everyone, silence and all are in du'as. So balance it. Read Quran Sharif also and give time for du'as also. But sometimes if it happens and you have to give one priority over the other, give priority over to Quran Sharif reading. The great knower of Allah, Arif Billah, my master Ibrahim Al-Khawwas, Rahmatullah Ali said, the cure of the heart lies in five things. The heart which has become ill, it's not a bypass, it's not some stents and all that. The real cure of the real heart, there are five things. Reciting the Quran Sharif with a deep reflection. That is also one thing which we neglect very much. We don't read Quran Sharif with reflecting on the meaning of the Quran Sharif. We must read Quran, especially the ulama, we should try. And this will give us opportunity, every, no matter who it can be, perhaps I can say this safely, when you read Quran, you will get stuck in the meaning. I don't know exactly what this means. What is the meaning here? And that will make you to go and look at tafsir. And when you start looking at you won't look at tafsir, you'll automatically be looking at tafasir. Different tafasir. You won't get satisfied with this meaning. And you look, what is the actual meaning? You look at different tafasir. And then your knowledge starts opening. The doors of the vast knowledge of Quran Sharif start opening on you then. And then you'll get the mizaj also of the mufassirin, how they made tafsir, what their mizaj was. But when we don't look at tafsir at all, or we only look, one is to look, I have to teach tomorrow, I have to give dars, Jalalain, Tarjuma, Quran Sharif, whatever else it is. And one is that urge came in you, that what is this? I want to know. That eagerness to know, that is a great thing which Allah Ta'ala makes, it gets developed within us. That urge to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali say, Alim is that person who has continuously got a question in his mind. If we don't have a question in our mind, we're not an Alim. Alim is one, Alim is that who is that person who realizes what I know is nothing compared to what I don't know. What I don't know is plenty. And when a person feels, and he says also, I know everything. I'm a Sheikh Kul. I've got knowledge of all, everything. Then know that person is a bull. He knows nothing whatsoever. A person who realizes, I know nothing. That person, and that's you when you start learning. And then when you get the tawfiq of start looking at the tafsir and different, then Allah opens various aspects of deen upon a person. So the Quran Sharif, what tadabbur, what reflection. The emptiness of the stomach. This also takes a person towards the ma'rifat of Allah. And to know Allah Ta'ala and the cure of the heart. That is to keep roza, for Allah's sake. Just that you just close the valves of the heart, of the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. And that opens your mind, opens your heart. Allah give us tawfiq of nafal rozas also. Ayyam-e Bid are very valuable. Monday, Thursday rozas. Muharram, Zulhijjah roza. All the various rozas. Besides the faraiz, the nawafil also. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Standing for the night prayer. Qiyam-e Layl, Tahajjud. That also opens the heart. And by that, Allah, the person, his heart gets cured. Supplication before dawn, the tahajjud time, du'as at that time. That is the time when a person make your du'as before Sehri time finishes. That lasts 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever time you can, give it for that. After Sehri time is finished, start with Tilawat-e-Quran. I saw this very much alive in Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali. He used to come early to the masjid and du'as he should be engaged. And the minute now, the Fajr time has started, Sehri time is finished, then his time was devoted to Quran Sharif. The Anwarat, the Barakat, if we do these things on their times, it's completely different. And you can, without much, you make lot of effort in the wrong time, in the wrong place, your results are very small. And you make it in the right place, little effort in the right time, the right effort in the right place, that little effort yields great, great, great returns and profits. In keeping the company of the righteous, in order to purify the heart, the company, five things. What are they? The recitation of the Quran Sharif, with tadabbur, deep reflection, emptiness of the stomach, standing for the night prayer, supplication before dawn, and keeping the company of the righteous. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Then there is an instance that has been written in the kitab, and especially for the ulama, for others also who know Urdu, very advisable to read this Quran, Quran ke hayrat and gaze waqiyat. There is one instance from there, that what the tremendous effect of Quran Sharif has got. And this whole kitab is written by a doctor, and who worked in the hospital, and what he saw the effects of Quran Sharif. So this one instance, a woman named Aisha from Pakistan relates the following experience. I was once busy reciting Quran Majid, as was my habit, when my eldest son, Shafi, who was approximately 6 years old at the time, emerged from the house to play outside. We are still unsure as to exactly how it happened, but he somehow closed the door of the car on his finger. His hand was injured so badly that his third finger, the middle finger, was almost totally separated from his right hand. The finger just managed to remain attached to his hand by a thin strip of skin. That was all that was holding the finger. Just the little skin that was still, the finger was with the body. Otherwise, it happened such a way that the whole finger was off. I was seated in our home reciting Surah Ar-Rahman and remained oblivious to what had transpired. She didn't know all this is happening. My husband, on seeing our son injured, did not wait to inform me of what had happened, but instead instantly bundled him into the car and raced off to the nearest doctor, which was the logical thing, that emergency. So he didn't even inform the mother, the wife, and he took the child to doctor. On arriving at the doctor's surgery, the doctor urged him to rush to Shafi to the civil hospital. I was just about completing Surah Ar-Rahman when the guard started urgently shouting for me. The guard of the house, he knew what was happening, so he came to inform me. When I did not turn my attention to him and indicated that he should wait as I wished to complete the surah before hearing his message. I want to read my Quran. I want to first finish Surah Ar-Rahman. Then whatever you got to say, I'll listen to you afterwards. When I had completed reciting the surah, I turned to him and informed me of the tragedy that had befallen my son. On receiving the news, I also set out for the civil hospital. The doctors had used stitches to attach his finger, but felt that the finger would not successfully connect and join with the hand, and it would thus be better to remove it altogether. All the nerves are cut, all the blood, the veins are cut, all every arteries are cut, everything is cut. It's got no connection, only with a little skin. That's all that was holding it. I, however, could not tolerate the thought of my son living with only four fingers on his hand and begged them to give the finger a chance, which doesn't make sense to them at all. In this way, 2 days passed with the finger attached until the signs of infection and decay became apparent. It became now, gangrene, septic gangrene. The hand began to emit the odor of disease, and we now feared that the infection had spread to the rest of his hand. Now it wasn't only the finger, now the whole hand. In desperation, one of the most prominent surgeons of Karachi, Dr. Pinto, was summoned, the most superior surgeon. When Dr. Pinto examined my son's hand, he supported the opinion of the other surgeons, claiming that my son's finger was beyond saving, and also declared that the right hand would have to be amputated until the wrist on account of the infection. Now the whole hand will have to be amputated. Overcome by a mother's love for her child, I pleaded with Dr. Pinto to prescribe more medication which would hopefully remove the infection and save my son's hand. Dr. Pinto became angry and admonished me, saying, "If you refuse to allow us to amputate until his wrist, the infection will spread within 24 hours. We will be forced to amputate until his elbow. Everything will have to go." Hearing this, I stood up and exited the hospital. I turned to the best surgeons in the city, and they had failed to save my son's hand. I should rather turn to Allah Ta'ala and place my reliance and faith on Him. Hasbi Allah, la ilaha illahu, alayhi tawakkaltu, wa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Still standing outside the hospital, I began to make dua to Allah Ta'ala, saying, "Oh Allah, this tragedy struck while I was reciting your Quran Majid. Oh Allah, you have complete control over the entire world, and you are all powerful. Do not let me become despondent of your mercy. Oh Allah, have mercy on my son. Oh Allah, I will recite one entire Quran in the next day. You saved my son." In order to console me, the doctor gave me 2 capsules to give my son and a bottle of Dettol to disinfect his wound. The amputation, however, was scheduled to take place in 24 hours. I turned my complete attention to Allah Ta'ala and placed my complete confidence in Him alone. For that 24 hours, I remained in the hospital and began to recite the Quran Majid with my husband until we had together completed the khatam of the Quran Majid in 17 hours. In these 17 hours, the wounds on the hand of Shafi miraculously dried, and all the signs of infection miraculously disappeared. The finger that was only attached by a bit of skin, and now it became right. Quran Sharif. If we turn to Quran Sharif, what all the doctors and surgeons combined were unable to accomplish, Allah Ta'ala had done for us in just a few moments. The surgeons were speechless and realized that all their degrees were worthless before the Quran Majid of Allah Ta'ala. This incident transpired 14 years ago. When this book was written, that was also so many years ago. And the hand of Shafi healed so completely that not even a scar can be seen today. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to have our trust on Quran Sharif, to become married to Quran Sharif, to become devoted to Quran Sharif, become the devotees of Quran Sharif. That today, very sadly, many of us, Quran Sharif is not in our life. And this I'm not just saying of thinking, speculating. The correspondence which come, which are good people, students, ulama write, and from what they themselves they say, that as far as Quran Sharif is concerned, we are very weak, we don't read. Allah make it that we attach ourselves deeply to the Quran Sharif. Then just one or two other incidents. One was a beautiful incident of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, also with regard to Quran Sharif, that Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh went for Hajj, and he found out, and those days Hajj wasn't 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks, 6 months minimum, 1 year they should go for Hajj. So somebody from his own town, his own neighborhood had also come, he found out. So then you would like to meet the person, that how's things going at home, etc. So he tried, send messages, and that young boy it was. But he sent messages back, this is not the place for meeting. This is the place for connection with Allah. It's not a place for meeting. So he avoided Imam Shafi'i. So who must he be? So one day Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi saw him making namaz in the Hatim. And he went and this boy was making dua all the time. Ya Allah, when I pass away in my qabr, in Jannah, give me tawfiq of reading namaz and Quran Sharif. And I must read Quran Sharif in my namaz. That his dua was always. And he was famous for that. So he was making namaz in the Hatim. Imam Shafi saw him, so he went and stepped behind him. When he makes salam, can I get a chance? I will speak to him. And then the boy immediately turned around and said, I was also waiting for you. I wanted to speak to you. Now I had a need to speak to you. That see, by tomorrow night I'm going to die. Yeah, I'm giving you this money. It's for my coffin, to have my grave dug, and you must bury me in Jannatul Ma'ala. That time wasn't all the government regulations, and they take over all the matters and that. So Imam Shafi was like, what is he saying? But Abba, the next day, they made for Isha, Jamaat, Sunnah, Witr, Nafil. After everything, he lied down. He finished. He passed away. He just went and he passed away. So Imam Shafi then had his qabr dug, buried him, everything. After some time, another person of their neighborhood also came for Hajj. So Imam Shafi wanted to inform him also. And also, yeah, how's things going back home with all the people, etc., as normal. So that person passed away also. So when he passed away, Imam Shafi went again to Qabristan, Jannatul Ma'ala. And he was going to be buried. It was not so long after this, so the qabr was next to him. They dug his qabr, and as they finished, were busy digging, the Imam Shafi saw that the wall fell down. And he saw into that person, and he went forward to see. Abad, he was standing, reading namaz, and reading Quran Sharif. Then he spoke to him, and told Imam Shafi, the wall didn't fall down. Allah is making you to see that my dua, Allah has accepted my dua. And Allah has given me now, yeah, in the qabr, I'm reading namaz, I'm reading Quran Sharif. So Allah give us that love, that we come to that level, that we ask Allah, that Ya Allah, in the qabr also, Jannat also. When a person gets the pure love of the Quran Sharif of Allah, the speech of Allah, then automatically he will just want that. Allah give us that level of the love of the Quran Sharif. Then a person can't help but just read Quran Sharif. Whatever few minutes he gets. Also what I learned from my brother-in-law, Maulana Qasim Zubair Ali, he also should read a lot of Quran Sharif. Wherever we should go on safar, etc., we used to be together. Now, if we approaching the town, now normally what all we will do, normally our practice, we start packing up, getting ready. We're going to get off the car now. Masjid has come, or the house where we're going. But he wouldn't. He will carry on reading. And till the time comes when you have to actually open the door and get off the car, till that time he will read. So I asked him, you do it before time, close your Quran and you put your mark in there. He says sometimes some delay takes place. And about 2-3 minutes, he says, I can read 20 ayats. And for one ayat, what is the reward by Allah Ta'ala? And yeah, I can read 15 ayats, 20 ayats. Sometimes they are talking, they say, no, not yet. Program is there, you have to go there. And now you packed away, then you don't want to open up again. So he said, I just read till the last moment. And so Allah give us that shock and connection with Quran Sharif, that last moment as much as we can, and to have the love for Quran Sharif. And then there's one very other lesser instance also, from which we can take great lesson. There was this one businessman of Lahore, who had a business grocery shop, and a wealthy person. He had a good business, running very good, and married. He had 6 daughters. After that, 1 son was born. So unfortunately, what happens commonly, that son, you spoil him. After 6 girls, now you got a boy. Or if you had 6 boys and you get a girl, and then you spoil them. And some parents, even in any way, today we have got no concept generally of the bringing up of children. Spoiling them, destroying their lives, destroying their future, that we call love of the child. Putting him on the wrong line, their education in the wrong line, their character, their habits of wrong things, eating. We spoil them with one family boy. He was still a small boy that time, maybe 3-4 years. But he used to have a whole liter of coke for breakfast. And the father should insist, give it to him. He wants it, so give it to him. And today he's suffering the condition. What effects it has on a person, and then your whole life. We as parents, we'll die, we'll go in our qabr. And the others have to suffer the consequences. We don't know to be a little bit strict, to bring up the children properly. People also, family people, they also that you are too strict on the children. You're spoiling, they're going to hate you. But that is the true love, to bring them on the correct lines. That is essential. And make them understand, speak to them. Don't just give laws and orders, but make them understand. And then when they will understand, they will do it. If you do it by command, they will only do it in front of you. And when the minute they are behind your back, they will do their own thing. If we just tell them, you mustn't drink cold drink, for example. Don't eat sweets in front of us, but they won't eat. There aren't sweets and cold drink in the house. We're not keeping. But the minute they go by visitors, they'll go wild. And then you just see them going wild for the sweets and all the other cold drinks, etc. So, but if you make them understand the harm of it, and that now you are still young, your anatomy, your body is strong still. You can resist all these things. You won't notice it now. But afterwards, when your body starts becoming weak, it starts giving up, then all these things have the adverse effect, and you suffer the consequences. And at that time, now we as parents, we are there to help you. But at that time, there is nobody to help you. And sometimes how many poor people, we feel them so pity how they suffer. So anyway, one is normally we spoil a child. And when a child comes like this, after so many girls, a boy came. So they spoiled him even more. Because of the spoiling, he became awara. He became spoiled. Not listening, doing all the wrong things. Until so much he became a drug addict as he grew up. Worse than that, he started womanizing now. And now they were advising him. He doesn't listen to them. Mother crying, making duas. Father crying, making duas, advising him. His sisters telling him. But now he is gone. He became spoiled terribly. So in this condition of his, one day he was sitting in a park. And from a nest, a bird fell down, a parrot bird. A small baby bird. And then a cat was just nearby, and the cat's rosy. So the cat rushed. But he managed to get the bird before the cat. So he took it, and the bird injured itself with the fall. He took it home, personally. And this also is another great lesson for us to learn. These people who are like that in death, they got a lot of feelings for suffering people. They have a lot of thought for them. Whereas other people who are like pious people, they don't give thought to these things. It's very important. Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali say, once after Fajr Namaz, he was coming home, and at the culvert where the water goes down the drain, he found a cat with its kitten and shivering in the cold. It was cold weather, rainy weather. He took them all home. He made them comfortable, and he gave them milk to drink and made them. So this is a very important aspect where we get the chance where there is a stray cat, for example. Or what is encouraged in this incident of this, put some food, water for birds. Put on the roof, put outside. Birds come eat. Birds drink that water. These things have got great value, as we will see, inshallah. So anyway, he took this little parrot, baby parrot, home. And he nursed it. It became right. Then he put it in a cage. And it was growing up, feeding it properly. But then the thought came to him, this is a free bird. This is not a parrot that is commercial, that is sold and that stays in a cage. This is a bird of the trees, of the jungle. So he took it back and he set it free. That happened. Then he became, now all that bad habits of his, the wrong eating, the drinking, drugs, all those things, he got cancer. And the pain he was feeling in his stomach, he could not control the pain. Terrible pain. Like daggers are being stabbed in his stomach all the time. So terrible he was suffering. So they started treatment, hospital, everything. And in the suffering and pain of his, The father one day came home with an envelope and said, this envelope has come, it's for you. I opened it and your Umrah is approved. So did you apply to go for Umrah? He said, no, where? Me and Umrah, what a life he was leading. And no question, no Umrah. So, and in there was written, you need these documents and must make sure you got your passport. So they went with it there. And they saw, and his application, they had it there. And most surprising, his signature was on the application. But he knows nothing about it. So, inshallah, just follow, and then you'll see where or how all this happened. So then he now went for Umrah, he made Umrah, he went to Masjid Nabawi. Now life started changing there, the environment, Haram Sharif, and all the Anwarat and the Barakat. His life. It so happened Allah made it, that right behind the Imam in Medina Sharif, there was one place vacant. And he got placed right behind the Imam. And he made namaz there. And in the namaz, again his pain started. And in you can see he's going up and down, up, he's suffering with the pain, terrible pain. But then it subsided. He stayed another 17 days or so in Medina Sharif, and normal, everything. He came back, now he was well. No more. And he also, no more the pain of all the terrible, that cancer. So his father said, let's go and check up, go to hospital again. They went, they too made all the scans, everything checked up. Nothing, no sign of the cancer. And doctors can't believe it. They got his record, his file is there. And they got all the scans which is showing clear the cancer. And now nothing whatsoever. Doctors say, no, maybe this laboratory is something wrong. Again scans and then send it to another laboratory. Same results came. No cancer whatsoever. So all this, then after this little, he slept one night, he dreamt. And in his dream he saw that baby parrot that he saved. That baby parrot made dua for him. And the duas of that parrot, the cancer had no chance to stay with him. Finish. Allah's Qudrat was above everything. So this, when we can, some person who is in some difficulty, and he asks you for some help, the least if you can't do, don't rebuke the person. Don't tell him anything bad if you can't help him. If you can't, make go out of your way to help him. You can, some of your expense, bring it down. Help that person out. And you don't know the dua. And animals also. Birds also. Fish also, and especially if we keep them as pets, then we must look after them properly. But even like they're just stray animals, and we look after them. And like for birds, we put some food, we put some water. For fish, for the cats, a stray dog also, though we shouldn't keep a dog as a pet, but cats, and many times the stray cats come, don't kick them away. Don't push the dog clothes upon them. All the downtrodden, Allah's heart is there. Allah is with those people. And if we show any kind, and they make du'as also. So their du'as save us. So Allah give us tawfiq that this is what must, our hearts must become soft. Not like hard with rock and hard. And in order to soften it, Quran Sharif tilawat. Think of what? What's going to happen to me in my qabr? Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. So, Quran Sharif tilawat, make it the nasbul ayn, our object of life. I have to make my Quran Sharif. The minimum, which Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has prescribed, at least one khatam in Ramadan. As I'm asking around now, especially the little children, many of them are far. They are mashallah. They are those who are already by 18 supara, 20 supara. But most of them are not. And then ask them, when are you going to make khatam? They just smile. It's like it's nothing. It's not a big deal if I don't make khatam. But for all of us, at least one khatam in Ramadan, at least when we can make one khatam in 30 days, then in 330 days, why can't we make one khatam? A whole year, at least one other khatam. That is the minimum which Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah has prescribed as far as tilawat of Quran Sharif is concerned. And as we have explained, the rites of the Quran Sharif are much more than tilawat. But the minimum is that amount. And the most Allah will uphold the claim of anyone on the day of Qiyamah is the claim of the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif is not a creation of Allah. It is a sifat of Allah. The greatest love Allah has got is for His Quran Sharif. By the barakat of Quran Sharif, Allah will raise our stages very, very high. So we must be very committed to the Quran Sharif. So read the Quran Sharif daily. And when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Quran Sharif's claim, Allah will never reject it, never push it to the side, or the file will never get missing by Allah Ta'ala. That will be upheld. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he lays the charge. Allahu Akbar. And if he lays it against us, his ummah. And with regard to the Quran Sharif, what chance we stand? وقال الرسول يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. My people, they ignored the Quran. They did not pay attention to the Quran Sharif. Imagine if your choice daughter, you're a prominent person, big person, and your choice daughter, she's married, but the son-in-law ignores her, doesn't see to her needs, doesn't see to anything, how angry will you become? And what action you will take? And the Quran Sharif and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the amount of tilawat and Quran, the position of Quran in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on Qiyamah's day, oh Allah, my people, waqal al-rasul, al-rasul, is alif lam, yani Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there is no doubt. In the qawmi, my own people, ittakhadu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura. They divorced themselves from the Qur'an. They ignored the Qur'an, like the Qur'an got no value. They had no time for the Qur'an Sharif. So what will be our case? And for who the Qur'an intercedes, and the Qur'an will intercede for its reader. Those who read the Qur'an Sharif and are regular, and the great virtues of reading, the parents benefit. A hafiz who reads the Quran, who acts on the Quran, he will take 10 people who were condemned for Jahannam. In other words, the cases were heard, they were found guilty, sentence was given, they must go to Jahannam. Such 10 people he will take to Jannah. But this is not just the hafiz who reads the Quran, the hafiz who acts according to the Quran, he will be given that. And the ulama, as many stars in the sky, so many people they will take to Jannah. But that is also that alim who practices also. Not just that he knows, to know also is Mubarak. And then to teach and make effort of deen is Mubarak. But to practice yourself on deen, that is the most Mubarak. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained the great virtues of practicing on deen. One aspect, zikrullah. And the great virtues. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked, well, that so much virtues, walal jihadu fi sabilillah. Even jihad in Allah's path hasn't got so much virtues. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, no, not even jihad. Except that person. The 10 days of Zulhijjah, there is one riwayat for that. And for this the riwayat is, except that person who breaks his sword at many places. In other words, continuously fights, his sword breaks, still he fights, sword breaks, still he fights, till nothing is left of his sword. And he's covered with blood from head to toe. The blood, 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 blood. That person can be equal to the person who makes zikr of Allah. That is, who has got deen in his life. Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi explained that it is quite clear, this hadith. Like that, outwardly it doesn't seem to make sense for many. But Thanwi says that the effort of deen can never equal the reward of having deen in your life. And the object of effort of deen is to bring deen. That is the object of the effort of deen. And we have to measure ourselves, no matter what effort in Darul Ulooms we are making, teaching Hifz class, Nazra, Maktab, Tabligh Jamaat, Khanka, just coming and running and this, all the programs of Khanka. But if deen is not coming in our lives, if not in my life, if we who are coming in not our lives, then it's an exercise in futility. The object is that deen must be coming. that these things what have been spoken and made the fazilat, Quran Sharif, zikr, all this dua, what we are talking about, rozas, how they must, if that is coming in our life, that is what is required. So that is very, very important. Allah give us tawfiq. We have got this little while of our worldly life. Ramzan now almost the second and Ashra is finished also. And we, how much are we, and how much more are we going to live? We have destroyed so many Ramadans. We have destroyed so many years of our life. Are we just bent on destroying our whole life? We're not worried of our akhirat, the eternal life. For that we must prepare. May Allah give us all tawfiq and guide us to righteousness.